deal tonight with more or less of a continuation with what John was talking about in the book of Malachi. I'm not going to use the overhead projector. I'm just simply going to talk about it directly out of Scripture. There are two kinds of preaching: positive preaching and negative preaching. And negative is not to be taken as bad. Negative is an important aspect of preaching. And sometimes you have to preach about things that you can't do a thing in the world about, just to let people be aware of the fact that they do exist. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah, and I'll give you time to get there. And we're going to take a look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 21, and I'll give you time to get there. John said that you could mark this down, that whenever a country was headed on a downhill moral slide, you could always trace it back as the basic fault of the religious leaders of that country. And I certainly know for a fact that is an absolute certainty. I can't do anything about what's going on in this country. There's no way I can stop it, and I don't care who you elect as president, whether he's a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever. I don't think there's any solution to our problem. But I do applaud Bill Clinton for making an effort to try and stop it. I don't agree with him on gays in the military. I certainly do not agree with him at all on abortion. I think he's dead wrong, and I think the Bible teaches firmly against it. But I do applaud him for at least making an effort to try and stop what's happening in this country. I wish it could be stopped. But the thing I'm concerned about in this country is not the national deficit. I care less about the national deficit. It's not inflation. I could care less about inflation. You say, well, it affects you. It's going to cost you money. Well, from a carnal sense and from that standpoint, yeah, it bothers me some. But from a spiritual standpoint, I could care less about the national deficit. I could care less about whether or not we have inflation or don't have it. What I'm really concerned about in this country is the moral decline. And I'm afraid that Bill Clinton or George Bush or Ronald Reagan or no one alive on the face of this earth can stop it. So let's begin in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 5 and verse 21. It's a warning to God's people, in this case, the nation of Israel. So let me tell you why I'm preaching it tonight. If I can't stop it, if I can't do anything about it, if I can't put a dent in it, if it's just going to get worse, why preach this? I do not want any one of you sitting here to be a victim of it. I do not want you to become a casualty and depart to the ways of the world. And so I am a God-called preacher. Most of the preachers in this country are not. There are a lot of good God-called preachers in this country. But the majority of the men today that are claiming to be from God do not represent God, because they do not preach His gospel, they do not preach the truth, and they do not teach the whole counsel of God. Verse 21, Jeremiah 5. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. The problem in this country is not the national deficit, nor is the problem in this country inflation, the economy, or anything having to do with financial arrangements, or our own creature comfort characteristics. The problem in this country is what you see in verse 22. And this country has ears to hear and eyes to see, and they are just as foolish as the nation of Israel. And in the very near future, they are going to pay a terrifying price. I'm preaching this because it's my purposeful hope to Almighty God that you will hear this, and you will not become one of those who do not practice, do not understand, do not believe what verse 22 states. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof pass, toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. God made the earth. God made the heavens. God made the oceans and the seas. God separated the continents. God established a habitation and a boundary through which the waves of the sea would not pass. He is the creator of all things, God of gods, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And yet right here in this community and across this country, the bulk of the people are not God-fearing. I could stand here and say, it's the fault of the public schools. It's humanism in the public schools. I could stand here and preach that to you. But the real problem is that God's preachers across this country, most of them were not for God and from God, and they did not stand up and denounce humanism in our schools. And furthermore, they did not preach to the parents of those children so that the parents of those children could handle their own moral discipline at home. It is not the responsibility of the school to teach your child moral principles. It is the responsibility of each individual set of parents to establish a teaching for their children at home, because if the parents do not teach them, I guarantee you the public school system will not. And if every preacher in this country that had claimed to represent God had really represented God and had preached the truth to the American people day in and day out in every form of communication available, this country would have never gotten in the mess it's in. Our problem is not financial. It is not economic. It is not social. Our problem is moral. And it is what you see in this next verse. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. And whose fault is it? It's not God's. If God's men that he called had had the courage to stand up in pulpits and to go into homes and show the people from God's word their responsibility to their children and what love really is, we wouldn't have the situation we have now. The children today are the way they are because the parents would not stand up for the truth. And the parents are the way they are because God's preachers wouldn't stand up and tell them the truth and would not lead them in the paths of righteousness for the namesake of Jesus Christ. It was because there are far too many preachers and far too many men claiming to represent God, whose God is their own belly, and whose welfare is not yours that they seek, but their own personal benefit and welfare. So I say with John, you can always trace the moral decline of a country back to its religious leaders. And the religious leaders of these countries are hypocrites, deceivers that outwardly appear religious, but are no more interested in you than Moody's goose, but are interested in their own personal welfare and their own representation before the people as someone who is to be respected and praised. If God's preachers had preached the things of God and taught people who God is and who he represents and what he can do, we would have never got into this mess. But we're in it. And there are so few of God's preachers that are simply trying to show people who God is, what he has to say, what he means and wants for them, their best interest, that today preaching has become showmanship and talent-laden rather than simple God-fearing preaching to people who can respect and revere God when they realize who it is that they're worshiping, their own Creator and the Creator of the universe. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I was raised in a gentler time, when I actually had the audacity to believe what my grandparents taught me, that the one who was my God and the one who was my Savior was the one who gave the rain, both in the early season of rain and the late season of rain. And he was the one who was responsible for giving the harvest that fed me. And he was the one who was responsible and overshadowed my life and saw that I had the needs and necessities of my life. And I bow before God and stand before man and tell you that is the irrefutable truth of Almighty God. For God controls this earth, and we're worried about the national deficit. I can understand why, and I don't ridicule that. I'd like to see it go down too. And we're worried about a whole multiplicity of things that have to do with our financial needs and necessities. And I understand that, and I don't condemn that. But I'm telling you that the real problem today in this country is morality and the like of it, and the lack of a revered respect for Almighty God. And if you lose that, you lose the most important thing that you can have in your entire life, because it is God who made you. It is God who gave us life. It is God who sees to the harvest. Let me tell you something. This national debt thing, if God held the rain back from this country, and he controls the meteorological functions of the entire globe, if he held it back for 5 years, these people in these cities would be starving. We wouldn't be worried about the national deficit. We'd be worried about food and clothing and shelter. And if in the mercy and grace of God, in spite of our ungodly attitude and our rebellious hearts, he is still providing for us, in the hopes that his hand is ever held out still, that we might individually and collectively turn back to him as a nation, God, even knowing it will not happen, continues to bless us. Because as bad as we are, as corrupt as we are, as immoral a nation as we are, believe it or not, we represent the best he has on this earth. And what a pitiful best. There among my people are found wicked men. And your sins have withholden good things from you. What are good things? You say, well, security, my home, my insurance, my income. Look, I understand the importance of those things, and I don't condemn them. I thank God for them. But the really good things of life are not things that you can hold in your hand that you can buy goods with. It's not something you can hold in your hand and say, this means that I don't have to worry about being hungry. The best things in this life are the inward awareness that you have an eternal spiritual bond with God through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is coming to take you either at your last breath on this earth or when the rapture comes, he's going to change you. And forever and ever and ever, you're going to be with this God. Good things are realizing whose protection you're under and how safe and secure you are in his hand and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you and how forgiving and merciful and gracious he is towards you and how he has never had anything but your best interest in heart. He becomes real. Remember that old song? My God is real. My God is real. Those are the good things. They're spiritual things. They were the inward awareness that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you. And no matter what happens to your family or what happens to you or what happens in this economy and what happens on this earth, the good thing is that Jesus will always be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. And he's coming, and he's coming with a kingdom, and we're going to be alive in it, walking in this kingdom in glorified bodies, seeing one another, communicating with one another, loving one another, serving God, and rejoicing because we know that death has been done away and we are forever with Jesus Christ. I tell you, those are the good things. Those are the things this nation has forgotten. Those are the things the preachers stopped preaching. And they took the word of God and turned it into a corrupted social mess. And they stood in pulpits across this country, and instead of telling of the wonder and grace of God in Jesus Christ and picturing the blood-bought sacrifice of a lone, single, bleeding man dying alone to save them from what they were, they created a social gospel, and women stood in pulpits and told people how they should live. And men stood in pulpits and told them how they should live. And they told how we should help our fellow man, how we should love our fellow man, how we should have human compassion and love and mercy. And they left out Christ. And Christ is the only one who has true love and compassion and mercy. And that's the reason this country is in the shape it's in. If you don't believe me, go right down the street and sit in a church service conducted in the Methodist Church and listen to what's preached. Listen to it. See if you can find Christ crucified in it. Go right down the street to Pentecostal Church and watch a fantastic array of emotion expressed and people babbling and screaming and falling in the aisles. Then ask yourself, where's Jesus? And where's the preaching of the word? We are a minority, a small, seemingly insignificant minority. And one of the reasons that I do such, that I don't preach like this very often, is because it just is not going to have any effect on the world. And once in a while, I need to remind you that if you're not very careful, and I need to remind myself, we're going to be going the same way the world is going and still thinking that we're serving God. You must maintain your integrity with the Word of God, and you must never stop learning about Jesus Christ. You can never learn all there is to know about Him, but you can jolly well make the effort to learn as much as you can, as long as you can, and you have an eternity with Jesus to learn as much as you can. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. As he that setteth snares, they set a trap. They catch men. For among my people, even in the days of Jeremiah, among the nation of Israel, there were false priests, priests that weren't appointed by God, weren't God chosen. There were prophets that were not called of God, speakers, proclaimers of the word of God, not God called or God chosen, but men who called themselves and saw the benefits of being in the upper echelon of society and being respected. They were wicked men, not God's men. They wore long flowing robes. The word of God floated off their lips. They had the elocution of Lucifer, and they appeared to be the most godly men of their day. And they would lay wait and entrap people. Have you ever watched one of these really big programs? Have you ever watched Benny Hinn? We make fun of him and laugh at him when he blows on people and they all fall down. And I must admit, the first time I saw it, it was humorous. But have you ever looked at the thousands of people there? And have you ever looked at the cameras as they pan the faces? If you haven't, take a good look. You'll see women there with tears going down their cheeks, looking up to God. They've been entrapped. They've been taken by an evil man who laid wait to take advantage of God's people. It was that day in the days of the nation of Israel. It is the reason that God divorced his people and will not return to give them their entitled reward until the tribulation period is ended. Billy Benny Hinn is an evil, wicked, sinful man. He is not of God, nor is he called of God. But look at the world and look at what they think of him. In today's religious leaders, there are many men who can lay snares like you trap an animal. And they put a little piece of bait in it. And they put a trip stick. And a rabbit comes along, and the rabbit likes the food. And he goes after the food, trips the stick, and is caught in the box. Those men to whom Jeremiah referred were men who were telling God's people what they wanted to hear. He was telling them things that would please the carnal man. Today on television, you have men standing up there telling you, if you'll just serve God and send in this seed faith, God's going to heal you of cancer. God's going to give you inner peace. God's going to give you inner happiness. God's going to see that your daughter gets saved. God's going to see that your son gets saved. They're there. You can watch them on TBN anytime. Those are evil, wicked, sinful men who are trying to lay a trap for you, and the bait is something that's there that attracts your carnal nature and gives you inner peace and satisfaction, because that's what you want. And when you reach in for the bait, you get hooked, you get caught in it, you get snared in it. These men are the religious leaders of the world. Who am I? Who's John Holbrook? Who's Eddie Rogers? Little, small, insignificant nobodies who don't know anything. We're not the great religious leaders of this world, because the only bait we have is God's Word. And God's Word is not very appealing to someone who does not know his Son as Savior. And that kind of bait has never drawn a large crowd, and it never will. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. I don't know how many times I have had people come to me and say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I think Brother so-and-so is a real good preacher. I remember one time a couple came right over here. They sat right over there about between where Kenneth and Kay are sitting. And they really liked this church, and they really liked me. And one day, I made a remark about Jimmy Swaggart and his belief. They got so mad, they stormed out of here and walked out. You say, well, you ran them off. No. The truth ran them off. Take a look at this again, because I think this is important. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. I went to Baton Rouge to preach a revival. This was long before Jimmy Swaggart's fall. And I had the privilege of going out to where he lives. No one was allowed in. It was a huge, huge estate with a solid wall. One huge gate at the front with two guards continuously on duty. And nobody could go in. Jimmy Swaggart raped the pocketbooks of widows, Social Security partakers, and he laid snares and traps. And he got them to believing if they would send him this or send him that, he could heal them of whatever they had or give them whatever blessing would turn on their ability to live longer in this life. And he got rich and richer and richer and richer and richer and richer. That's what's wrong with this country. The religious leaders were more interested in their own physical welfare and their own financial status than they were in the welfare of the people and meeting the spiritual needs of a lost and dying generation. Oh, they preached well. They had the right cliches. They said the right thing. But they had no love or interest for God's cause or for God's people. You say, well, I don't feel the same way. If you called me or Eddie Rogers or John Holbrook, who are we? Little, small, insignificant nobodies. But if you called us and asked us to come to your home, we'd come. If you called us and asked us to preach your funeral, we'd preach it. If you needed us, we'd come. You think Jimmy Swaggart would? You think Oral Roberts would? Who are the religious leaders of this country? Jimmy Swaggart? Oral Roberts? Jim and Tammy Baker used to be? Benny Hinn? Those are the religious leaders of this country. And that's what's wrong with this country. I don't blame the American public. I don't blame them for departing and going into hell in a handbasket to this extent. I blame the religious leaders more than I do the people who are rebellious. It's true that they're the ones that went after the wrong bait. But I'll tell you who's going to be in a lot worse shape than they are. The ones that put that bait under there. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. I don't know how many times I've seen exposés of these fellows, and they say, we've got this home for children down in Haiti. And we've got this home down there, this relief thing for these children. And all this money you're sending in, well, we're just sending it right on down there to those needy children. And they lie. And when it's investigated by the news channels, they discover they weren't even affiliated with this place they were sending the money, and maybe they had sent $100 out of millions they had received. They lie. Because they want your money. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? This nation is going to pay for what they're doing. And I want to warn you about something. If you're one of these people that think they're all right, God's going to judge you too. Because they're not all right. They do not preach the Word of God. They preach a convenient message to rob the people of what little they have. Ken, would you turn out that light on that side? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. That word wonderful does not mean what you normally think wonderful means. It means a fantastic, shocking, spectacular, unbelievable, and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so.